This podcast is presented by Celery.com, the one-stop shop e-commerce logistics provider.
Welcome to Celery Talks, and thanks for joining our conversation this week. Celery Talks features ideas and the stories that are behind them. And our guest this week is David Calkins. David is the founder of a company called Bespoken Art. Bespoken Art is truly unique. They take the sounds of life and culture and capture their sound waves for their customers. David sat down with us and shared the Bespoken story, where the idea came from and where the company is headed. For our listeners not familiar with Bespoken Art, David, tell us about your product.
Well, thanks again for having me on today. I'm glad to be here. Bespoken Art is a soundwave art company. We create art from soundwaves. We visualize an audio and then print it on a canvas or put it on a nice frame print. But what's really important for people to understand when they hear art company, they think, oh, you make art. But really, Bespoken Art is much more than an art company. Really, we're in the business of telling stories. We give people a unique and innovative way to share a story or to share something meaningful to them. So one of our other slogans that we like to say is, we capture the moments that a photograph can't. If you think about it, you probably have photographs all over your house of important moments, and that's the images of them, but there's all kinds of important audio that we experience every day. Bespoken Art allows you to capture that audio, capture that importance, that meaning, and that moment, and turn it into an image that you can share, that you can hang on your wall, that you can give as a gift. So we create art from sound waves, but really, we help you share your story.
All right, let's go back to the beginning of your story. Where are you from? Where did you grow up?
So I am a Texan, but I grew up moving around. My father was in the military, so Texas, Colorado, Virginia, England, but then landed back in Texas, going to university here, Texas A&M, and live here in Dallas now.
You know, you hear just that common shared experience of families in the military. So you didn't technically spend a large swath of your development and your upbringing in one spot, but what did life in the military, moving around, contribute to who you are today?
Great question. It has definitely given me a little bit of the traveling bug, so I love to travel and see new things. I think it's also given me an appreciation for different people, different cultures. It's also given me just a great appreciation for the men and women who serve our country.
So when you were between the ages of 18 to 22, what did you think you'd be doing for a career?
So I always would say I would love my life to be a combination of five different things. So I would say I want my job to somehow involve music, traveling, business and entrepreneurialism, ministry and surfing. And so I got to be a teacher for a while and travel and live abroad. And what I'm doing now is really a combination of several of those things as well. So get to be an entrepreneurialism business, work with music, and do some traveling and ministry at the same time.
So before you founded Bespoken Art, what were you doing?
So before I founded it, I was a high school English teacher in Japan. Right when I came up with the idea for Bespoken, I started also working at a nonprofit in Houston. And so that nonprofit was called the Work Faith Connection, and we worked with individuals and job transition, anyone having trouble finding a job for whatever reason, and we would provide training to help that person get back in the workforce. They were coming from a difficult background, be able to communicate to their potential employer about how to overcome that or why they're different and how they're going to be a good worker now. So it was a wonderful ministry, and they're doing some great things there in Houston.
Would you consider yourself an artist, or were you artistic early in life?
So people will often say, oh, you're an artist. You own an art company, you're an artist. And I think to myself, and sometimes I'll say this, that I'm an entrepreneur first. I didn't start Bespoken Art as an artist. I started it as a business idea. And I've definitely become much more adept at design and look at some of the designs and the layout as an artist, but I'm definitely not an artist first, business person first.
Have you always been an entrepreneur?
I have been keeping an invention journal, an idea list, since I can remember, I think since high school. And most of my ideas are pretty terrible or probably not great ideas, but definitely have always had an entrepreneurial mind. My brother and I started a company in college together, a little t-shirt company. And it was not a financial success, but I learned a ton from there. And that really helped springboard me into be able to start Bespoken Art.
who or what may have influenced you to be entrepreneurial?
When I lived in Virginia, I was a senior in high school, and I heard about some guys that were in college, and they came up with an idea for a surf brand. And one of them that summer was working at a surf shop down in North Carolina, and the surf shop owner said, if you come up with your own idea and have some t-shirts and stickers, feel free to sell them here. And I always thought, that's amazing. I want to do that. Mm-hmm. I'd be so fun to come up with your own brand and sell it. And then I also saw that there is lots of opportunity out there, and there's lots of people making money. And if you can tap into that, why not me? Someone's going to come up with a great idea that they can sell. Why not me? I can do that.
As far as being an artist, was there anything that has influenced your artistic side?
As an artist, I think part of what has influenced me there isn't necessarily my style of art. It's maybe more so the mindset behind it. Growing up, especially my brother is super creative. He was always building neat things out of Legos, drawing very cool designs. And so he thought very creatively. And we used to, when we would drive together, hang out together, we would come up with various creative ideas and talk about creativity and what that looked like. So I believe more than anything, I approach my art with the mind of creativity. How can we make a creative product? And within Soundwave Art, what are some creative ideas and some unique ideas we can create in this medium and through Soundwave Art? So I would say my brother really influenced me there.
In regards to Bespoken Art and just the idea, when was that aha moment?
I remember it very, very vividly. It was a little more than 7 years ago now, and I had been working on some business ideas. I had saved up money from teaching. I wanted to start a business. And the ideas that I had had up to that point, I don't think were real solid ideas. They were creative, but not anything that probably could have been a business. So I was working through ideas, and I had seen a company that created art from DNA. They would visualize a person's DNA, put it on a canvas, and they were very successful. So I started asking myself, what else can you personalize? And so as I thought about it, I remember as soon as I thought of the voice, that's unique. Every person's voice is different. That's easy to create the design and get audio samples. So when I had that moment, I realized of all the business ideas I have, if there's one that might actually be successful that I could start on a low budget, this would be it.
After this aha moment, who was the first person you told you wanted to sell waves of sound as art? And what was their response?
So it was my roommate at the time, a good friend of mine. We were living together, and I ran out and said, Nate, I've got my idea. And I think he was trying to imagine it in his mind, but he thought it was probably better than all my other ideas. And so he was definitely a big encouragement. And my first two customers were actually his now wife and another good friend of ours at the time. So early on, I told my friends they liked the idea a lot, and then they were some of my first customers.
What were the initial steps to getting your company off the ground?
Sure. I think anyone who started a business, you know this. It's quite a journey to go from abstract to concrete. Honestly, the hard part isn't coming up with the idea. It's actually executing that idea. And so, okay, so this is the concept. Is anyone else doing this? I'm going to search to make sure this is original and unique. And then it became, what am I going to sell? What colors am I going to offer? What options? How many different options should I sell? How are we going to sell this? And so it really was a distillation process going from idea. What am I going to sell? How am I going to sell it? What are the options? What's the price point? Now let me get some samples, get a website, and try and get the idea out there.
Now, when did you start picking up momentum? When did you start creating more sales and start homing in your idea and your process?
There's been various waves and seasons for Bespoken Art. So I had some great initial success after there was a couple of big design blogs that picked up the concept and shared it with their audience. And so that really gave us the springboard to get going. And then after a few years, there was a little bit of a lull. We had some news programs that did a story on it. But I would say when we really got our growth is in 2015, when I started working on it full time and started, in addition to the personalized pieces, started offering a library of images based on pieces or designs that we've already created of words, quotes, names, songs, any other thing that we can design. We've already recorded, we've already got the design, and so it's a matter of just purchasing it from our store.
Tell me a little bit about the initial process. Was there iteration? And then tell me about your process today. Has that changed?
Like any product that has a visual side to it, which ours does, there's a process of refinement. So the refining process of our designing and how we work with certain audio, there's definitely been, I would say, a refinement. And when I look at some of the pieces I did back then, you think, well, it's all sound waves. How different can it be? Well, there's actually a lot you can do to draw out the image side of a sound wave, the aesthetic side of it. There's definitely been a refinement design side. And then in terms of the actual business, the process is basically the same. We start with an audio, and then we will turn that into the image. So whether that be an audio a customer submits or an audio we secure or record on our own, the process is the same. We get the waveform, work through it, the audio side of it, make sure if there's any extra sound or noise removal that needs to happen, we'll do that. But then we get the visual and print it out.
How were you initially getting the word out about Bespoken Art?
When you're a small business and just starting and you're the one financing it, you don't really have any extra money. And so you look for really creative ways to get the idea out. I tried to do that. I messaged as many design blogs as I could and said, here's a product. I think your customers might be interested in it. And so that was really how we got started. And from there, the idea spread a little bit. In our first year, we had a designer reach out to us that wanted to put our pieces in a boutique hotel. And so they ended up giving us, still to this date, the biggest single order we've ever gotten for 51 custom canvases about 8 feet long that are above every bed in the rooms of Hotel Red in Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh, very cool. What does marketing look like for you in general now?
Well, we're still a small business and I am still figuring this out. I think as everyone is experiencing, everything's going digital or there's lots of unique ways to market. There's Facebook or there's Instagram, there's the paid advertising, there's the non-paid. And so it's really a maze that is constantly changing. And to that end, we're still figuring it out and what it looks like. But we try and do a combination, paid advertising, I think like most small businesses, but then seek to, like our business at heart, how can we do this from a creative standpoint? What's some creative ways we can market our product. And thankfully, our product really lends itself to some creative, fun marketing.
Okay, so your product is a little bit unique. How is marketing art different from more of a traditional consumer product? Mm-hmm.
Art is a unique thing to try and market and sell, and especially ours, because to a certain extent, it's personalized art. So what we found is there has to be some kind of jump for the customer to understand. So there's a little bit of explanation required or a little bit of processing on the customer. They don't just look at it necessarily and say, oh, I know exactly what that is right away, or I know what I could do with that, all the uses or potential ways they could utilize the gift, whether it be, oh, I could make it from my baby's heartbeat, or I could make that from a voicemail, or I could record an I love you to my mom for Mother's Day. All those thoughts don't run through a person's head right away. That takes some time. What we found, though, that's kind of interesting is if we're marketing our personalized versus marketing our library, it's a lot easier to market a specific product as opposed to an idea. And here's what I mean. If I tell someone about the concept of Bespoken Art, you can turn any sound into a piece of art. People love that. They say, that's amazing. And they start thinking, oh, I could do this, I could do this. But it's honestly really hard to end up deciding what you want to do. So we'll have a lot of people that say, I love the concept, but then never buy because it's just hard to choose. What do I want? My kid's voice? Do I want my favorite song? Do
it's
I
like
want a quote?
Over choice for
it's
them.
It's too many choices. And so by providing a list of already created options, it allows people to browse those and say, oh, that's Frank Sinatra. That was my wedding song. I'm going to buy that. Or my uncle loves the Beatles. I'm going to buy that for him. So it helps direct people's attention to a specific product. There's not an explanation required as much. And then they can immediately think of who it might be given to or what use they might like it themselves.
What channels do you sell through?
We are an e-commerce business for the most part. We did experiment with some retail and had some success there. We were in about 10 or 15 stores, but found that it just made more sense to sell online. So we have our own standalone website, bespokenart.com, which is on the Shopify platform. And then we also sell on Wayfair and then on Etsy currently. We'll do some shows and we're still in a couple of retail shops, but that's not our main push.
How has e-commerce impacted your business?
We started out knowing we were going to be a primarily e-commerce business. So in terms of the formation of our business, it was that way from the beginning, but e-commerce really makes our business possible. 20 years ago, my business would not be what it is. This really couldn't have been possible. We work with several different supply companies and a couple other printing companies if we're doing oversized pieces. So it really, e-commerce makes Bespoken Art possible. It allows us to connect with customers around the world. And the shifting of e-commerce, the fact that in the past 10 years or 5 years, really, e-commerce is ubiquitous. It's what people do. It's not most of the time we go to the store, but sometimes we purchase online. Now it's just as common, if not more common. So it's allowed us to find customers and continue to grow our business.
When is your busy time of the year and what do you consider busy?
So the busiest times are November and December, especially around Christmas, because more than half of our purchases are gifts for others. So Christmas is a really busy time. What busy looks like, I think we did close to 800 or 900 orders in December. So that translates out to 30 to 40 a day. It can get pretty busy for us, especially around November and December.
Is Valentine's Day a big day for you?
So our busiest time of year is November and December. Behind that, January and February are also busy times. I don't know if it's that people are starting new projects or have seen other people's Christmas gifts, so they're buying in January. February is busy because of Valentine's Day. Last year, we were featured on a Canadian TV show right around Valentine's Day as a feature for Valentine's Day gifts, so this is a busier time of year.
Tell me about your process. How many can you produce at one time when you have a line of orders? How quickly can you produce your product?
We can turn around quite a few. So again, there's two sides to the business. The personalized side, those take a little longer because it's a process of receiving the audio, rendering it, double checking it with the customer, make sure they approve it. So those take a little bit longer, but the library side, we can get those out pretty quick. We have three printers in-house. We also work with two external printing companies that will help us with canvases and frame prints, and they're big operations, and so we can handle quite a bit. In terms of a specific number, with our current team and current size, we can handle 50 to 100 orders a day.
When did you start to see that people were interested in your product? You mentioned being on a couple blogs, TV shows. What event led to the largest growth where you kind of just said, yeah, we're gaining traction here?
Mm-hmm. The initial validation of the idea really happened in some ways before I ever came up with the idea. I knew that personalized art from this other company I saw that made the DNA art, I knew personalized art had a market. And then as soon as I came up with this specific of Soundwave art and started telling people, I knew there was an interest. And again, because our business isn't primarily about art, it's about giving people a meaningful way to memorialize something important to them or share a story. That never goes out of style. That's always important. That's why photographs are so important and are always going to be around. And so this is, it's like a photograph of an audio moment. And so I knew pretty early on, just by the nature of the idea, that this isn't quite just a fad idea. This is something important, something that allows people to share a story. Early on, there was validation. What has really helped grow it? One thing was working on it full-time for me to be able to say, I'm going to devote my full-time job to this. And I started that in 2015. And then externally, what really helped grow us was starting to sell on a variety of platforms outside of just our website.
What was that jumping off point to starting with Bespoken Art full-time?
Well, great question. I have a really supportive wife. And so the reason I quit my previous job was I got married and moved up to Dallas. I was in Houston beforehand. And my wife works as well, and we were looking at, should I do Bespoken Art? Do I want to do Bespoken Art full-time? My wife is super supportive and said, if you are interested in doing this, let's do this. Work on that full-time. So the jumping off point was getting married, quitting my previous job, moving to Dallas, and then having a really supportive wife who said, if this is something you think you want to do, go for it.
What are some of the challenges you've had to overcome along the way?
So I was not expecting competitors like I've run into. So we had some initial competitors, and then especially within the past few years, we've had several more competitors jump into the market. So that's been a challenge, but I believe that I've been able to, because we've been around so long and we've got a unique product and a unique variety of products, I think we're staying ahead of the competition. Some of the partnerships we've been able to secure and opportunities we've had, we're the only company doing some of the things that we're doing. So we're really excited about that, but dealing with competition, it's validating, but it's also a challenge. Figuring out how to narrow down. As you can imagine with this concept, there's about a million different directions one could go. You could focus on the wedding industry or the pet owner industry or the music industry, the all kinds of different markets we could really go after. And so thinking we could probably make money in all of these, what makes the most sense? What can we do best? So trying to narrow down has been difficult and it's taken quite a bit of time. And I'd say the last challenge has been, how do we get this idea out further? And we know it's a good idea, but how do we expand? How do we make sure everyone knows about this?
What has been the toughest logistical hurdle you've had to overcome?
I think anytime a business grows, and I'm thankful to say we have been able to grow as a business, we've got a team now that works at Bespoken Art. Anytime you go from a single person running a business to more than one person, you run into logistical. So turning everything into a system, a process, a filing system, especially as we started to increase our SKUs and our designs, we need to make sure all of our designers, everyone that works for Bespoken Art is on the same page. And so it was quite a logistical feat to go take everything off of my own personal computer at home, put it on the cloud, and then come up with systems and processes to make it easy for everyone to be on the same page. And so if you're listening out there and you're maybe a one-man show, a two-man show, but you're hoping to grow, get started on that early. Get systems and processes that are easy to understand, ways you do things, SOPs, statements of protocols, so that people can follow that and that there's no ambiguity across the team.
Do you get returns? Do you get damages in shipping?
If you're out there and you ship things out and you never get returns, please email me and tell me how you do that. I want to know. Thankfully, on our side, we've been able to figure out a good packaging system that works for our product. So occasionally we get damages. For the most part, we don't have to deal with that. One of the things I'm committed to as a business owner is making sure that my customer gets a product that they're satisfied with. So if something gets damaged, we'll send them a replacement right away. We don't deal with that too much because we work hard on the front end to make sure that doesn't happen. In terms of returns, we get some funny stories of customers saying the person who I was going to give this to, sometimes some awkward stories of I got this for my girlfriend and she broke up with me before I was going to give it to her, or I got this as a gift and they didn't like it or they didn't understand it. So we've dealt with that, and again, putting the customer first so that we'll work with them to either get them a replacement or something they do like or something different or a refund. But I think on our side, if we do work on the front end, we've been able to figure out how to take care of most of those problems before they ever become problems.
Do you have interest from international customers, and do you print sound waves in foreign languages?
We do, and we've done canvases for every continent around the world, and so there is an interest for international customers. There's some hurdles. We can't necessarily ship a big piece of art at a cheap cost, so that is one barrier. We can ship the smaller pieces. It's still somewhat expensive for a smaller piece, but what's nice about what we do is on our side, we start with a digital image, and so we've created partnerships with canvas printing companies around the world. So if we get an order from Australia, we'll send the image to our canvas printing partner there. They can print it locally, ship it locally. We don't have to deal with the international shipping costs. As long as we find a company that has high standards that we know will send out a great product, we're happy to work with them.
Have you had to raise capital? What are the costs involved that create a need to raise capital?
Bespoken Art has a really lean business model. We've been making money since day one. We did real well in revenue this year. So at least run the business, it's not capital intensive. In terms of expanding the business, that's where capital could be useful, is getting the idea out there. We've come up with a business that works, but in order to get the idea out there, to share it with customers around the world, around the country, that takes capital, takes advertising. So that's really where our costs are.
Where do you see the company in 5 to 10 years?
So in 5 to 10 years, I'd like to see a great growth in the business. And right now we're moving in that direction with partnerships. So we're looking to do almost a more business-to-business model as opposed to just direct to customers. And the reason for that is we can tailor our product to meet a lot of different markets and interests. And so rather than reinvent the wheel or try and do that all ourselves, let's find companies who are already in those markets and could use our images, could use our concept and shift it, work it to their own products. And so that's one of the directions we're moving, that we see a great amount of growth in. And we also see this as something that could really move internationally, of some international partnerships. The concept, it doesn't matter what language it is. You can record something in Arabic and Chinese. It still comes out. It's all sound waves at the end of the day. And so we love that there's great potential for international expansion. It's easy to go into different markets, different countries. In the next 5 to 10 years, we're looking for a lot of growth and continuing to share this idea.
So David, what are you excited about right now?
There's a lot that I'm excited about. We don't have any specific new products to tell you about for this upcoming year. We're not trying a new medium per se, but what we're really excited about is the continued growth with Bespoken. So in 2015, when I started on this full time, the theme of that year was experiment. The next year was we've experimented. Now we're going to establish our concept. Last year, the word of the year was expand, and we were able to do that. We were able to grow our revenue even more. And so my word for this year is explode. And I really see Bespoken Art being able to grow by leaps and bounds. And I'm excited about that. We were able to see how last year finished out, saw what worked really well, what didn't work as well. And now we can chart growth for moving forward this year. So we see a great growth potential. I'm excited about that. And at the end of the day, what really excites me about Bespoken Art is creating a meaningful product that people love and our customers do love it. It has meaning to them. It shares a story. And so I'm excited about continuing to do that.
You're in a unique position to hear some intriguing stories from people's lives when they send in their sound bites or explain the source of their story or the source of their order. Are there any stories that really stick with you today?
We love hearing our customer stories. And really, this business is not a normal business in the sense that we're not just selling product that sits on your shelf and maybe is useful, but doesn't have meaning. Bespoken Art has meaning behind every single piece we sell. Every piece is unique and people buy it because it has meaning. There's lots of stories that have been really, really special. One of the ones we did last Christmas, there was a mother who had twin sons and both sons, I think they were 6 or 7 years old, were born deaf. They had had several failed cochlear implant surgeries. They had done thousands of hours of speech therapy, and it was a recording of them saying a message for their Christmas card. So they purchased a waveform of their two sons, and hearing from this mother of how special that was to see her sons, who had walked through such a difficult journey of being able to speak at all, and then being able to hear them, capture that, and share that was really special. That's one story. We've done several pieces that have been created from voicemails of lost loved ones, whether it's a grandma, a grandpa, or someone who is no longer with the family, but they still have that voicemail. And those are always really special, and it's amazing to hear from the customer of how meaningful it was to see it, and it makes them tear up every time they see it. And then there's a lot of fun ones that we'll do as well of dog barks. We've done a couple of Will You Marry Me pieces. One of the more interesting pieces we did was a customer who tries to make recordings of paranormal activity, and so they had found some recordings that they sent us and turned into a piece. We've seen pretty much anything and everything you can think of, and it's a lot of fun.
That'll do it for episode 15 of Celery Talks. We'll see you back here next time for more e-commerce conversation. Subscribe and leave a review on iTunes, and you can also listen on Google Play or at podomatic.com.